And God doesn't promise us, young people, listen up. He doesn't promise us an easy life or a life without trouble or a life without trauma. But what he does promise us is that if we'll build on his son Jesus Christ as our rock, as our foundation, that no matter what storms or waves or attacks or traumas come into our lives, they too will go away and our rock solid foundation in Jesus Christ will still stand and be firm and be there ready for the next storm and will endure forever and ever. Amen. And I want to point out that Patricia Hunter does these for us every week. She's constantly on Kelly and myself. Get your announcements in on time. Yes, give her a hand. Because she sits behind the scenes every week and makes sure these are right, and sometimes we give her inaccurate information, and then she puts inaccurate information in here because that's what we gave to her, and then she gets in trouble for it from people when really it should be us. So she takes a lot of flack because we don't have our ducks in a row. So she does an awesome, amazing job. After church, we have a team of people that pick all these folders up out of your seat, and they take out the old information. And then another team comes in on Friday and prints the information. Another team comes in and stuffs the folders, gets them ready for you to use again. So we have lots of people working behind the scenes. And if you ever want to help on any of those teams, contact us. Let us know on your information form. We would love to plug you into a team. The teams would love to have more people on them. So let's give those people a round of applause. We appreciate them and thank them very much for all they do, because the body is not made up of one, a pastor, but the body is made up of many believers working and functioning together, both in front and behind the scenes, making it all work so that we may build each other up, edify one another, and glorify God with our lives as we work together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now I'll let the kids go to Sunday school. And there goes a whole nother group of people that work behind the scenes. So you think, where were they on Sunday? I didn't see them in church. Well, they were upstairs instructing the next generation. We love our teachers and those who work in our children's department. So they sacrifice, they fast the sermon every Sunday so they can instruct kids in the Word of God. Some of them get the CD once in a while and listen to it. Hopefully all of them do. Amen. Let's talk to God for a minute and then we'll jump into the Word. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father, that we can gather as a body, Father, believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, that we can gather openly and in public. God, that we have the freedom, God, to worship you in our country. And God, we ask that today as we get into the Word, God, that you would open the ears and the hearts of the hearer. God, that you would allow your Word, God, to penetrate them, God, to begin to grow and develop inside of them, God, bringing forth good fruit, God, that would bring you much glory. And God, I yield my mind, God, I yield my words to you today. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct me, God, that your word would be spoken to your people, God, that they would hear your words coming through, God, that they would hear what you have for them today, God, that they would grow and develop in you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're on the series Rock Solid Foundations. Last week we talked about salvation and how that applies to our foundation and the many different facets of salvation. It's much more than a ticket to heaven. It should be in every moment of our everyday lives working out within us our salvation. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about forgiveness and repentance. Very key elements in salvation. That's part of the working out our salvation. That's part of the action plan that takes place after we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And next week, Pastor Kelly is going to talk about love and how love applies to our foundation. That's part of the mortar. If you remember, each rock represents a different moment in our lives in working out our salvation. And Pastor Kelly's going to talk about the love as the mortar, how that binds us together in Christ Jesus. And the following Sunday, he's going to talk about our prayer life and how our prayer life is also part of that mortar. And then on the last Sunday of the month, I'll be speaking again on our Bible life and how the Word of God is part of that mortar that binds us together so that we can have that rock-solid foundation so that no matter what life storm comes against us, we can withstand it and we can stand firm in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Where do I start? I have so many notes left over from last week. I want to read you a little piece here to start out. Psalms 51, verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. So this is David speaking, and we're going to talk about the bones you have broken portion of this. So it says, you have broken bones and a broken heart. David eventually connects the two, as we will see in verse 17. But he starts with the impact of sin before he can react. Excuse me, before he can reach the reconciliation of forgiveness. The verb is very rarely used, only in the Psalms. Here, I might be mispronouncing this because I'm not Hebrew. Daka means to be crushed, to be broken. In Hebrew phenomenology, David's experience is as if God is pounding the living daylights out of him, grinding him into powder. Have any of you ever felt that way? I just heard a guy up front here talking about that a while ago. It's a good thing, by the way. God needs to chastise us once in a while, bring us back into alignment. David's expression tells us something important about repentance. We have to be able to feel the horror of our disobedience and the terror of our violation before we will come to the Lord in confession. Everyone sins, but not everyone feels the weight of sin. Since everyone sins, we might expect everyone to experience the crushing hand of the Lord, but it isn't so. If it were, the entire world would repent. What usually happens is this. The Yetzer Hara, again a Hebrew word, immediately goes into defensive mode and provides us with excuses, rationalizations, and insulation. Anyone ever been in that boat? Guilty. We might even experience momentarily regret. But we quickly construct protective walls to keep true humiliation out. In other words, we learn to live with it. Instead of allowing the emotional trauma to have its proper effect, we retreat into self-protection. We fortify our fragile selves and keep the feelings away. And as a result, we neither weep nor mourn. We continue. We live with our crimes. We compartmentalize. We stuff them into dark recesses and pretend that we can go on without confronting the damage. We patch instead of demolish. Why? Why do we resist the emotional breakdowns that lead to broken bones? Why are we so intended on patching up the holes rather than demolishing the leaky structure and starting fresh? The answer is an insight into the inner working of the Yetzer Hara. We are afraid. We are afraid that if we really let these God-given emotions out of the bottle, we will lose control. We will be humiliated. We will be shamed. We will lose that so carefully constructed self-image, our mirage. We will become lost in a world of emotional breakdown. And if there is one thing that Western thinkers fear more than anything else, it is precisely this: to lose control of their emotions. The plan to arrest our behavior and force us to confront our sin is emotionally driven. Rare indeed is the man who comes to repentance due to intellectual argument. Most of us arrive because of the loss of control. We come as damaged goods. We show up broken. Until we let go of our desperate measures to keep everything under control. It is almost impossible to experience the call of repentance. When we stop enlisting distractions, addictions, denial, and deflection, when we finally admit our feeling crushed, then there is a possibility of joy. Until then, there is only delay. So through our repentance, through our forgiveness, we're asking of forgiveness. We have joy. But we first must be broken, humiliated, coming before God. Say, God, I'm yours. God, I screwed up. God, please don't take my family. Take everything, God. How many of you know that Mike was broken when he spoke this morning, back several years ago? He humbled himself before God. How many of us have been in that situation? Pick me. You don't have to raise your hand, but you can. How many of us need to be in that situation? Better question. How many of us have been stuffing and bottling and hiding? Because what this does, I tell you a story. There was this squirrel. It's a squirrel story. It's almost like an outdoor story. It's not a hunting story, I'm sorry. There was this squirrel, and he was cruising through the woods one day. He was in the middle of nowhere, and he finds this nut. He tries to open it and cracking it, and it won't open, it won't crack. So finally discouraged, he digs a hole and buries the nut. Years go by, and he forgets about this nut he's buried. Finally, one day, a nut comes on in his head. The squirrels don't have light bulbs like we do. And I am drinking smart water today, so there's hope. He decides, I'm going to go back over and dig up that nut, see if I can crack it. But when he arrives, he can't find the place where he buried the nut. All he sees is this big tree, and it's loaded with nuts. He's like, oh, this is amazing. So he begins to climb the tree and shake the nuts to the ground. After he has a pile of them down there, he runs down. He's so excited he's going to eat all these nuts. He cracks the first one open, and he chomps into it. And goes, it's bitter. Nasty. Got a bad one. Let's get another one. And he goes on, and he goes on, and he grabs another and another, and every one of them is bitter and nasty. He's thinking, why is this? The squirrel doesn't realize it, but that first nut had caused him pain, and he had allowed bitterness to come into his life. And when he buried that seed, he buried it in bitterness. Therefore, anything that seed produces is bitter. Even though it looks like a great, healthy tree and it's produced lots of forage, every one of them is bitter. So all it has done is multiply his anger and frustration and bitterness. So the squirrel ran away angered and bitter. How many of us have something in our past that was such a minute, small thing that at the time we said, it's okay, it didn't matter, that didn't hurt anyway. But really it did matter, and really it did hurt. And we buried it years ago, and since that time it's been growing and developing in our life. And when you put a root system right down the middle of that foundation, it leaves a big crack. I grew up over in Stites for a few years, and in front of our house we had this huge tree. And its root system had went out under the concrete and heaved the concrete probably 12 inches, which made for a really awesome bike jump. But how's a little plant, a little seed, going to move concrete? I mean, the concrete there, it was old school concrete, probably poured in the 20s. It's like 8 inches thick. But there was no rebar holding the concrete tight and solid and together. So the concrete lifted and heaved, and even though it was an awesome bike jump, it tripped a lot of people. A lot of people fell. So what are you allowing to grow in your life right now, in your foundation, undermining the work of God in your life, undermining the foundation of Christ in your life? Lies, deceit, mistrust. John had a great message this morning on truth and trust. You should have been here at 9:15. So what are you allowing in your life to grow and develop? And sometimes we don't even know that it's there. But in every situation we're into, we react and respond out of that seed that we planted maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And it's causing us to react and respond. And we don't know why we're doing it. But if we'll seek God in this time of fasting, say, God, why am I always angered by this? God, why do I always respond so abruptly to this question? God, help me find what it is inside of me that's not of you that I need to get rid of. Fasting is a great way to track down those roots that are hidden and buried. And even though it looks great and wonderful on the front, and it looks like there's lots of crop production, it's a bitter tree producing bitter fruit. Do you want bitter fruit in your life? I don't. No way. Can I tell you one more squirrel story? Yes. Please. Yes. Unfortunately, I don't have any squirrel to share. How many of you have seen the movie Ice Age? Lots of us. Okay, so this story will go somewhere. So you know the little squirrel on there? He's always chasing the nut. He's always after it. It's the prize, and he's chasing it, and he loses it and drops it and loses it. When this last one I watched with my kids, and I don't know how long it's been out, but it's one I'd never seen before, there then shows up a female squirrel. So now you got the male and the female squirrel, and they're fighting over the nut at first. And finally they decide to resolve and become friends and share the nut. So they put the nut aside and they decide, we're going to be in relationship together. We're going to be friend squirrels. So they start being friends, but every once in a while the male squirrel would go look out the window, and you can see the nut out there in their trophy room or whatever you want to call it. It's sitting out there, and oh. So they could have taken this nut. And nuts are covered by a very strong shell, okay? So this morning, that's going to be our stronghold. And inside of that stronghold, it had divided them, caused them to fight and rage war against one another, scheming divisive plans against one another to see who could get the nut, who could get the prize, who could get the food. So this was their stronghold in life. For squirrels, it's a nut. For us, it's Facebook. Or smoke signals. That wasn't directed at anyone in particular. Bear claws are awesome. But for the squirrels, it was this nut. And they finally, I don't believe they really came into a relationship. I believe they were deceiving each other long enough that when the time was right, one of them would slip away and get the nut and disappear, which eventually happens. The male squirrel can't take it anymore. And he sees his opportune moment, and he slips outside and grabs a nut and takes off. So we use these strongholds against one another to deceive and to divide, to overpower. Rather, if we would take that stronghold and break its bondage, we could eat of the fruit inside and be strengthened by it and be empowered by it, and we could share together. But instead, we let these little seeds like bitterness and anger and rage and malice and envy be planted rather than breaking them open and using them for good. We use them for evil. And this undermines our foundation in Christ Jesus. So we're going to look at some scriptures today. A few of them. Just a few. We'll start at Genesis and end in Revelations. I have it narrowed down to just a few today, not a whole bunch, but just a few. So I'm going to look at Romans chapter 2, verse 5 real quick. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. So if we don't repent, if we stay stubborn, God's wrath is storing up against us. Who wants that? So all sinners who don't repent are just storing up wrath for the day of judgment. I don't want to be a part of that crew. I want to stay right before God. I want to repent daily and say, God, I'm not sure if I've sinned today. I can't think of anything consciously. But God, if I've sinned against you, I'm repenting of any unconscious sin today. God, purify me, make me whole, make me better, make me more like you. And some days I have to say, God, I know what I did today. Here's my list. Oh, wait, let me get my other notebook, God. Some days I know what I did, and I know I was wrong. And I have a choice to bury it and let it grow, or I can break its bondage right there and let it fuel me rather than destroy me. Sometimes we believe sayings such as in our American culture, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. You don't hear it so much anymore, but when we were kids growing up, it was a very common saying or slogan. What a lie. Sticks and stones we can heal from, but your words, they will never leave me. I'm going to bury them and let them grow and fester, and one day it's just going to blow up everywhere. Sometimes we have little cliche sayings in our world around us that are completely false and inaccurate according to the Word of God. And we believe them instead of the truth of God's Word. Again, undermining our foundation, undermining our structure that we're supposed to be built on, the truth of God's Word. If we don't forgive and repent, strongholds will grow in our lives. They will grow, they will be developed. You're always growing something. Are you growing healthy, nutritional stuff inside of you? Or is it sick and dying and decaying and nasty? What are you growing inside of yourself? What are you allowing to harbor itself in you? Over in Matthew chapter 6, you want to turn there with me, or you can get on your iPhone, as long as it's not Facebook. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Sometimes we have limits to how much we'll forgive, or who will forgive, or why we'll forgive, but this is a little of biblical instruction of how often or how much we are supposed to forgive. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Do you have anything held against anyone right now in your life? Is there anyone you have not forgiven? Because if so, that means your Father in heaven can't forgive you of your sins, which means you're not right with God, you're not okay before Him, and you're storing up His wrath for you. So first repent and seek forgiveness from those you owe it to, And then ask God to forgive you of what you've done. That's what the Word of God says. Also in Luke 17, 3 and 4, it talks about forgiving seven times a day. And so the disciples figure, well, seven times is the limit. As long as I forgive them seven times, if they do it an eighth time, then I can go ahead. I can be mad. But later Jesus talks to him. He goes, no, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. He goes, so not seven times, but 70 times seven. Forgive them per day, per offense. So what Jesus was trying to get at is, who would sin against you seven times in one day for the same thing? So forgive them that many. But if that's not enough for you, then 70 times seven, forgive them. Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. Which means he wants us to forgive them. Forgive. Did you get it? I can say it again. Forgive them. Let them know they're forgiven. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 19 through 32. Maybe that's 29. I can't read my own writing. 29 through 32. Here's some instruction for us. Seeds to not allow to grow in our lives. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So it tells us to be kind and compassionate. Plant those seeds in your life of kindness, of compassion. Plant those seeds and allow them to grow and see what kind of fruit they produce. Because the first squirrel I told you about, that wasn't the end of his story. He went and got a chainsaw. And he cut down that tree. He got rid of it and he burned it in a fire because it wouldn't produce good fruit. And he went and found a good nut that was full of wholesome talk, that was full of kindness and compassion. And he planted that nut, and he came back once the tree had grown and bared fruit. And he shook some nuts off the tree, and he ran down and cracked one open. And he bit into it and just went, "Ah, this is great." So he raked up a pile of them around him, and he ate until he was full. And then he went and gathered his friends, said, "Come check out this great tree I've found. His name is Jesus. He's full of goodness. He's full of love. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of compassion. Come and taste and see." How often do we plant seeds in our lives? And what kind of seeds are we planting? Has anyone ever reaped a bad seed they planted in their life? Again, you don't have to raise your hand, but I will. They're bitter and nasty. They're not fun. But you have to reap the harvest you plant, so why not plant with good seed and enjoy the harvest and reap the plenty, reap the goodness? Why wouldn't you do that instead? Amen. When was the last time you repented before God? Got down on your knees, said, "God, I'm sorry. God, I screwed up. God, I know I've sinned against you." When was the last time you humbled yourself before Him? It Think about it. Let it soak for a minute. Sometimes the enemy will come into our lives and he will say, no, you've screwed up too bad. God can't love you. And we'll allow that seed to grow rather than defending and fighting against it. We'll let it be planted. We'll let it grow and we'll let it control our destiny. Let it control our direction and our lives. I'm going to jump into Ephesians chapter 6 now. Verse 17. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you know this is your sword for doing battle? In the spiritual realm. This is like your 50 caliber sniper rifle in today's military. In the spiritual realm. Although the word of God tells us it's sharper than or more accurate than any weapon we can think of in this world, it's more powerful than even, yes, the atom bomb. If we will put the truth of God's word into our lives. So when the enemy comes against us and says, you haven't really repented. You haven't really asked forgiveness. You don't deserve forgiveness. When he starts planting these lies in our lives, if we harbor them, if we let them stay, they take root. They begin dividing and separating our foundation. They begin coming down through the wall and penetrating and perforating and cracking and dividing so that our moments are no longer all God moments. We have some separated over here that were screw-up mistake moments, and we have some separated over here that were, well, you're unforgiven because you did too many wrong things, and we have a few down here where we experience the joy of God, but we can't experience that anymore because we're not worthy any longer. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a divider of the brethren. He's the divider of us within ourselves. Because we allow those plants of lies to grow and develop. Rather than going to the sword of the Spirit and saying, God, what does your word say about me? Saying, God, what does it say in here about me? So I'm going to jump into 1 John chapter 3. Because this is a powerful weapon. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So when the devil comes against you and says, you've sinned too much, you've done too much wrong, you say, no, devil, it tells me in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, that Christ came to take away my sin, and my sin is no more. So you can't tell me I have sin in me because I've repented, I've asked forgiveness, and Christ has set me free. I'm no longer under that bondage, and I'm not going to believe your lie because the truth of God's word prevails in my life. Also in Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. And these are just two small verses in this whole Bible that are weapons at your disposal, truth to be breathed into your life. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will forgive Arby's wickedness and we'll remember his sins no more. So when Satan comes against me and says, Arby, you're a sinner, you're a screw-up, you're a failure, you're not worthy to receive the love of Christ, I say, no, the Word of God tells me in Hebrews that Christ forgives my wickedness, and he remembers it no more. So in standing with the Lord, I'm in good standing. You might remember it, but he doesn't. He's covered it by his blood, and he's forgiven me. So I'm made righteous through him. I'm okay with God. And you're not going to plant that seed into my foundation any longer. I'm going to pull it up by the root and cast it into the fire where it belongs. Not in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just all over the Bible today. Is there good stuff all the way through this thing? Amen. That's right. Front to back. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do you know you have a whole spiritual arsenal at your disposal? How often do we walk by our spiritual gun cabinet and just keep walking and go out without our weapons? How often do we go out without our defense systems in place? And we allow the lies and the gossip of the enemy to come against us. And rather than seeing his attack upon me, I see my wife, and she's attacking me. She's coming against me. She's my problem. Or I see my friend, and he's my problem. He's coming against me. He doesn't like me. Rather than looking at what's really going on, and they don't even know it, but Satan's trying to use them to come against us and trying to make it look like a physical matter, when really it's a spiritual matter. And if we react in the physical to it, we're going to get a physical reaction back. And we're going to create a physical problem that's not a physical problem at all. So while we're trying to fix our physical problems, we've got a spiritual root growing deep within us. And it's a tree that's producing bad fruit. So we don't look to the root of the problem, we look to some of the symptoms of the problem. And the whole time, the disguise is over us. And we can't see through it. We're being deceived. What we need to do is say, God, what's the root of this symptom? God, what's the root that's causing this symptom to arise? God, where do we go to kill the root, the seed that was planted? And we might have to go back 10, 20 years in our lives to kill that seed that was planted. To take out the root. Because Satan has a long-term plan for your life. It's death and destruction. And he doesn't care how he does it, as long as he can do it piece by piece, as long as he can whittle you away, as long as he can deceive you just enough to know that there is no power in Christ. I don't have any power or authority. Only Jesus had that. That was Old Testament stuff. He doesn't want you to know it's available to you today, that you have weapons at your disposal for tearing down of strongholds in your life, so that as you're those two little squirrels that met and have that nut together, you can break it open with a brother or sister in Christ Jesus. You can break that stronghold off your life, and you can devour the food that's inside of it to build you up and grow and strengthen you, rather than tear you down and separate you and then produce plants of bitterness. Or bad fruit. Because he wants to keep you in the dark. It's not dark up here, it's really bright. But he wants to keep you in the dark and not believe that these things are available to you. To believe they were in the time of Moses or they were in the time of Noah, but they're not for today. Because they are today. They're your weapons of spiritual warfare. And you have full access to them in the name of Jesus. But you have to open up the weapon case and drag them out with you. Say, I'm putting on my helmet of salvation. I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. I'm taking up my shield of faith. I'm going out with the sword of the Spirit in my hand, or at least in my head, most of us in our phone. I'm putting on the belt of truth. No lie will come against me. My feet are going to be shod and ready with the quickness, ready to deliver the gospel and truth. And if you remember, there's no back plate. There's no cover your butt, because you're always advancing against the enemy. You're never retreating, because it is an ongoing battle, because he's always after your soul, just as passionately as Jesus Christ is after your heart. They just have two completely different plans for your eternal dwelling. So make sure your foundation is rock solid in Jesus Christ. If you need to repent to God, get on your knees and repent. The altars are going to be open in a little bit. Get on your knees and repent. We're going to have a prayer team up here. If you want someone to pray with you, they'll meet with you in prayer. If you want to pray on your own, pray on your own. If you owe somebody forgiveness, forgive them, or God cannot forgive you. Forgiveness doesn't say it didn't matter, it didn't hurt, I don't care. Forgiveness says, I release you of the debt you owe me because of the offense. It did hurt, it did matter, and yes, I'm still working through it, but I choose to release you of your debt. That's what Jesus Christ does for us when we say, I repent, Lord, forgive me of my sins. He says, Arby, I choose to release you of your debt because I've paid it. And yeah, I still have to work that out in me, but I'm forgiven. I'm set free in Jesus' name. And you are too when you ask. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. God, for your great love toward us. God, for your abounding mercy. God, for your care. And God, we just ask right now, God, that you would stir up within our hearts, God, that you would reveal to us, God, anything we harbor within us that is not of you, God, that you would begin bringing it to the forefront of our minds. And God, that we would bring it and leave it at the altar, God, repenting, God, before you. God, that we would make our hearts right with you before we leave this place today, Lord God. Father, that we would make our relationships right, God, before we leave this place today. God, that we would ask forgiveness, God, of those that we would need to. And God, if they're not here today, God, that we would connect with them, God, by phone or mail, whatever it would take, Lord God, to meet with these people, God, to make our relationships right. God, to ask for forgiveness, to give forgiveness. God, that we may be made right before you. God, that we may be forgiven by you. God, that you would strengthen our foundations, God, as we press in and seek you, God, through these 21 days of fasting. God, I ask that you would use us for your glory. God, to do your work here in the Clearwater Valley. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Kelly is speaking down at Orfino this morning. She's stuck.